Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. I appreciate you watching. I hope it's a blessing unto you. We've been talking to you about the cross, and I want to continue to do so today. And so we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, would you read with me from verse 17? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And there's a fascinating thought there about baptism. For instance, let's just say that here is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about Peter's attitude about it. Back here, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 told Peter, he said, in effect, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to take me, they're going to kill me, crucify me, but I'm going to rise from the dead. But Peter said, not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And so obviously Peter did not believe in the cross. He didn't believe in the crucifixion of Christ. Now, he believed in the cross. He knew what a cross was. He knew what a cross was for. Jesus Christ had taught them pertaining to crosses, as in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 16, and numerous other places. So they knew about crosses. They knew about taking their cross. They knew that the cross represented self-denial and on and on. And they knew that criminals died on crosses. And so they couldn't imagine their king. They couldn't imagine the Messiah, the Son of God. They could not imagine and reconcile in their mind that he could die on a cross. And so Peter said, this shall not be unto thee. Not so, Lord. And so Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he was crucified, and they came to arrest him. And Peter drew a sword and began to fight. And Jesus said, Peter, put up the sword. It's for this hour I came into this world, and on and on. In other words, I'm going to die. I came to die, and so he did. Now, after his resurrection, Peter still did not believe. And so when they were given the word that Jesus was risen from the dead, Peter and John ran to the sepulcher. The Bible didn't say John, but it's most likely is John. They ran to the sepulcher. And they looked inside the sepulchre and they saw the linen clothes, and it wasn't until then that when they saw the empty tomb and the grave clothes that they really believed what had happened. Now they did not understand the cross. And so, after Jesus Christ had spent 40 days with them, Jesus Christ ascended up to the Father, received the Holy Spirit, and he baptized them with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, he said, as John baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he tells them, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and on and on. And so in Acts chapter 2, according to Peter, Jesus Christ received the Spirit from God the Father, and he baptized them with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, and he preached a murder indictment. He preached against the crucifixion of Christ. He said, you by wicked hands have crucified and you've slain the Son of God. You've killed the Prince of Life. He preached a murder indictment against them. He did not glory in the cross of Christ. He didn't boast in the cross of Christ. But he said, you've done wrong. You killed the Messiah. You killed your king. But God hath raised him up, and he has shed forth this which is now seen here. And they said, what must we do? And Peter said, repent, ye, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the forgiveness of sin, remission of sins. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Peter looked forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ over here when God's grace would be poured out. And he's saying, repent and be identified with the resurrected Christ. He's not saying be identified with the crucified Christ. Oh, no. He wants them to be identified with the resurrected Christ, identified in water baptism, and then at the second coming of Christ, they would be saved, for the deliverer will roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's God's covenant when he shall take away their sins. That's the day, according to Zechariah chapter 13, when the fountain shall be opened unto Israel for sin and for uncleanness. And so Peter looked forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looked back to the cross, it was a horrible thing to him. Israel had murdered their king. Israel had murdered their prince in the eyes of Peter. Then later, in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in glory, and the message of grace came down to the Apostle. And the Lord preached the gospel to Paul in Acts chapter 9. He preached the grace message. He preached to Paul that Christ died for our sins. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, it's that which I also received. He said, I'm referring to the gospel which I preached unto you, by which you are saved. He said, it's that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Lord preached the gospel to Peter. The Lord from glory to Paul, preached to Paul on the road to Damascus. And he was saved on that day. And from there on, he gloried in the cross of Christ. When Paul looked back to the cross, he didn't just see a murder back there. He saw a sacrifice back there. He saw God's Son being sacrificed. He saw that God delivered up his Son for us all. And so he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's the cross of Christ that's important unto us. Jesus Christ died on a cross. Crosses are made for criminals. Therefore, Jesus Christ took my crimes and died in my stead at Calvary. Now, notice in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching in the church pulpits today is not foolishness to people. They brag about what great and marvelous messages they've heard. And yet, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Where the cross is preached with power and with conviction and with authority, people become angry. They don't like that. People do not like to be told that they're bad. They like to be told they're good. People like to repent and make themselves fit so that God can save them. They do not like to be seen as the scum of this world. People do not like to be seen as harlots, adulterers, fornicators, the scum of this world. People don't like that. Therefore, the preaching of the cross, which includes that, is foolishness to this world. That's why I know that it isn't preached in the church pulpits today. Why? The throngs of people would not come in to hear the preaching of the cross. Why? Because it's foolishness unto them. To them it is absolutely foolish that a man could identify himself with a whore and in that sense trust Christ for salvation. It makes sense to the world, in the worldly wisdom of this world, it makes sense to them that if an individual would get good enough, God would save them. And that's what's preached. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Why, the Bible tells me in the book of Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What is that way that seems right unto men? It's the way of goodness. It's the way of religion. Men believe in joining the church. I was raised in a neighborhood up in Alabama where, as a boy, I never heard people talk about getting saved. I heard them talk about joining the church. I heard them talking about belonging to the church. So, as a young man, my mother and daddy, a deacon in that Baptist church, my four brothers already members of it, and my sister a member of that church. And as a young man, I walked the aisle in a revival service and joined that church. No one talked to me about getting saved. Later on, I was baptized, and after baptism, received in full fellowship into that church. And so those people talk about belonging to the church. What church do you belong to, they say? Oh, I belong to the Baptist church. Not salvation. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It seems right in the eyes of men. In their wisdom, it seems right to join something. Say, well, if it's good enough for my mom and dad, it's good enough for me. Good enough for John the Baptist, good enough for me, on and on. That's not the issue. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the preaching of the cross. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ. What is that? That Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth. There is no possible way that God can save you outside the cross. God cannot save you without you believing in the cross. And for you to believe in the cross is to accept that you're bad. Good people were not nailed to the cross. Bad people were nailed to crosses. Good people were not judged and found guilty and sentenced to the death of the cross. Bad people, criminals, murderers, thieves, liars, they were nailed to crosses. What kind of person are you in your own eyes? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a good person? Good enough that someday you'll be saved in heaven by and by? Or have you seen yourself as a bad person? Have you seen yourself as low down and sorry, unworthy of any goodness at all, and recognize that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he represented what you really are? He was seen as a murderer. Jesus Christ took the cross of a murderer. He took the cross of a thief, a liar. Have you ever seen yourself as a bad person, and seeing yourself as a bad person and recognized there's just no goodness in you? There's just no way that you can get to heaven by your goodness. Repentance and being better will not solve the problem. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You have a sinful nature and a sinful disposition about you. And as a result of that, you're condemned. You're not good, you're bad. But Jesus Christ died for bad people. Jesus Christ died for whores. Jesus Christ died for whoremongers. Jesus Christ died for adulterers. Jesus Christ died for liars and thieves. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Sinners, enemies of God. Can you see yourself in any of those categories? And seeing yourself, be like that publican in that temple. Jesus gave an illustration. He said, he's talking about that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he used an illustration one day. He said two men went up in the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. He had already said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot inherit the kingdom. Isn't that something? The Pharisees had righteousnesses. You talk about good people, a Pharisee was a good dude. He was a good person. And so Jesus said, these two there, the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he just goes on. And then he said, in effect, he said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. But Jesus Christ said that publican would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. That publican was so ashamed of himself. He was so humiliated at what he really was that he wouldn't lift up. He wouldn't even look up. He just looked down and he beat himself on the chest. And he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus Christ said, that man went away justified rather than the other. Why can people not learn the lesson? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, the whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Are you a sinner? Then Jesus Christ died for you. Are you a bad person? Then Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself for you. Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ sat at the table with sinful men? Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ met at that well and had that conversation with that woman? And then, in John chapter 4 I'm talking about, and then he said, woman, go call thy husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right, you don't. You've had four, and the one you're now living with is not your husband. But you know what? He did not walk away from that woman. He did not shun that woman. Isn't it amazing? In John chapter 8, those self-righteous hypocrites brought that woman in, and they said, we found this woman in adultery, the very act of adultery, and we've brought her unto thee. Now, we know what Moses said ought to be done, but we want to hear, what do you say about it? And he didn't say anything. He just stooped down and rolled on the ground. He raised up from there and he said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. I can just see that bunch of old hypocrites as they began to loosen their collar and say, you know, it's getting hot in here, isn't it? I believe I'll leave. And they, everyone left. Jesus Christ is riding on the ground again, and he raises himself and he said, woman, hath no man condemned thee? And she said, not one, Lord. And he said an amazing thing. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. We wouldn't have told her that, would we? Oh no, we'd have taken advantage of that to have exalted ourselves over her. We'd have said, you low down, filthy person, get away from me. But not my Savior. He said, I don't condemn thee either. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ fellowship with sinners. Jesus Christ was condemned by men because he ate with unwashing hands. They said, in effect, the religious people, they don't do a thing like that. Why is it that you do that? They called him a glutton. They called him a wine-bibber. And on. He fellowshipped with those that the world, the religious world, would have called bad. But you know what? He never fellowshipped with the religious people of this world. Why, he condemned them. He called them hypocrites. He called them whited sepulchers. He said, you snakes, you serpents. He said, you're like graves that are covered over and men don't suspect and they fall into them. He said, you make clean the outside of the cup, but within you're full of filth. Religious people. He never fellowshiped them. Jesus Christ was not a member of the ministerial association. Jesus Christ never met on Monday morning with the ministers to have the ministerial breakfast and talk about what they accomplished on Sunday and how many had walked the aisle and how many they had saved. And no. You wouldn't have found Jesus Christ in all those kind of meetings. You'd have found Jesus Christ dealing with some sinful person. You'd have found Jesus Christ with his arm over somebody's back, some smelly, sinful individual that needed a Savior. That's where you'd find Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have found Jesus Christ walking around with his collar turned around backwards, with a fancy disposition about him, a prissy attitude about him. My Savior is a man. All man from top to bottom, but he's all God from top to bottom. He became everything that man is, that he might be judged for men. Not by men, for men. And so God delivered him up for us all. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Education in the world today is exalted. If you're well educated, people love you and they fear you and they respect you. If you're not well educated, they look down on you. And to some people, you're no more than the scum of this world. And they care nothing for you. If you have a doctor's degree, then they respect you. I watch the television preachers, and I'm amazed at these men, at the things they do and the things they say, and the way they comb their hair. Did you ever notice? There's one fellow on television that obviously has no hair in the center. And so he combs his hair right above his ear on one side and combs it all the way across on the other side to cover up his bald spot. So what's wrong with that? His business, none of my business. He wants to be acceptable, doesn't he? He wants to look good in the eyes of men, doesn't he? He figures that if they saw him bald-headed out there, they would laugh at him. I see these men on television as they look into the camera. And they do their faces out of shape. And they cry for the sinner out there. And they pray for them. What are they trying to prove? It's the preaching of the cross whereby men are saved. It's the preaching of the cross that's the power of God. It's the preaching of the gospel that's the power of God. These people that I'm referring to are performers. There is a way that seemeth right unto men, the end thereof are the ways of death. Religion seems right unto men. They don't mind walking the aisle. They don't mind praying at the altar. Men don't mind getting baptized and on to be assured of a certain thing. Why, in fact, by joining the church and being baptized, men can have political power and social authority among other men. But when an individual admits to people that he's bad, when an individual admits to people that he's no different than the whore, he's no different than the whoremonger, he's no better than the drunk, he's no better than the thief, he's no better than the scummy bums of this earth, then people lose respect for him. Who's your respect for anyway? Do you respect men or do you respect Jesus Christ? I saw a situation recently where There was a man in a group that a lot of people knew this individual, and they knew of his exploits, and they were searching for his autograph. A vile man, but boy, they're going for his autograph. And in that group, there was a preacher that preaches the cross, that preaches the gospel of Christ. And the people knew him, but they weren't seeking for his autograph. They didn't have that respect for him. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. Men do not highly esteem being called a whore, a whoremonger, an adulterer, a fornicator, a snake. People do not appreciate that. They appreciate being called good and lifted up and exalted. How about you? When do you remember a day that you saw yourself as a sinful individual and realized your weakness to save yourself and trusted Christ? If that isn't in your mind now, that day isn't there, then right now will you believe in Christ, trust in Him as your Savior? Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.